May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So a familiar passage from Mark chapter 4. We hear this at the start of Lent as we think about Jesus going into the wilderness and the temptation. And so the purpose of having the passage today, it ties into our Growing on the Frontline series, and we're thinking about, in session 4, how our emotions reveal our desires. Our emotions reveal our desires. Sometimes we don't always know what we think until afterwards. Do you ever find that? You don't realize how hungry you are until you snap at somebody and then you realize you're hungry. Okay, I'll try this side. You don't realize it's somebody. Is this just me or no? Maybe it is. Sometimes we find we're hungry or we're tired or we're angry and we don't always know what our emotions are doing. And really, that's what this session is in the course. It's about thinking through how sometimes the emotions we experience kind of come out and to bite us or to surprise us. There's three things going on in the passage. Jesus is tempted three times. If you have a look in verse 3, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The bread is a symbol of security. We talk about food security these days, and security is what this is about. You can have everything you need if you could turn stones into bread. If you could just make food out of nothing, you would have security. And Jesus is being tempted around security. The second temptation is around approval. He has him go to the holy city and stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he says, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you. They'll lift you up, and so on. So the tempter is taking scripture and trying to say, okay, you'll be fine. If you jump off, you'll be okay. And Jesus says, no. It is written as well, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So we have security, we have approval, and the third one is control. Again, the devil took him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said, no. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Our desires, maybe you have different desires bubbling away inside, but often they relate to one of these things. It's something about security, something that we need, be it food or housing or something else. It's to do with approval. We seek the approval of other people. We also seek to be in control. And as we notice our emotions, we might see that different ones of these are revealed. Our emotions can reveal our desires. So what do I mean? Well, suppose your big desire is to be in control. Some of you drive a car. We want you in control when you're driving a car. We want you with a hand or two on the steering wheel, in control of your car or your truck. Some people have cars that drive themselves, and that's just a whole other thing, but just forget that for a minute. We want to be in control of the vehicle that we're driving. And I think that if you haven't driven a car, this might not make sense, but if you drive a car, you know that the harder you grip the steering wheel, the more chance is that the car's going to start moving sharply. You might have experienced that. So really, you want to hold the steering wheel, but somewhat gently, so that you're not doing this all the time. Works the same in an airplane. If you ever get the chance to fly a plane or go on a flight simulator, you'll find that the more you try and control the thing, the more the plane's doing this. I know I'm messing up the cameras, but there we go. If you're watching online, come to church next week. The plane's doing this, and it's going all over the place. And when I learned to fly, my flying instructor said to me, David, can I just do a demonstration of how this should go? And so he took the controls off me, and he had two fingers on the controls. He was flying the plane with two fingers, or a finger and a thumb, if you can see that far, a finger and a thumb. And he held on really gently. He said, the plane just wants to fly itself. And the more you get stressed and try and control it, the less well it's actually going to fly. There's a saying, isn't there? Let go and let God. And if your thing is about control, then maybe that's what you have to do too, or what I have to do. Just sit lighter to something and give it to God. The emotion piece ties in, and I'm going backwards deliberately because I couldn't work out how to do this forward, so I'm going backwards. The emotion piece comes out because if you imagine yourself flying that plane and the plane's doing this all the time instead of flying beautifully straight and level, you're probably going to find some stress bubbling up, some anxiety, because the more you try and control it, the less it does what you want. That's where we see the emotion revealing what's really going on. Maybe you're in a work situation and you're trying to micromanage some people. And you find that the more you try and micromanage them and tell them what to do, the less willing they are to work with you. Maybe it's the other way around and you're being micromanaged. And you can share this sermon with your boss tomorrow. It'll be on our YouTube channel. But the more we try and control things, the more we probably find ourselves getting stressed. That's one example. And I could do the same for each of those. For security, for approval. It's that piece of when we try and take things on as people, we so often find we make our life harder. So we're encouraged as Christians to shift our desires towards God. To shift our desire, to find our security not in the ability of being able to create food from rocks, but our ability to feed on our heavenly food. We'll sing that song too later. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. We'll find that our desire to seek approval from other people, I think there's a reality show that has the line, one minute you're in, the next minute you're out. I can't remember which one it is, but one of the shows says that. One minute you're in, and the next minute you're out. If we desire the approval of people, we'll find out that that is true as well. We buy the new car, and then our neighbor buys the nicer car. And for one minute, we've got the nicest car in the neighborhood, and the next minute, someone else has got a better one. Or we buy that new coat or shirt or dress or whatever it is and then find somebody else has a better one. And the approval shift. Oh, isn't that lovely that you've got? Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? We then find that's where the anger or the anxiety builds up. If you're a young person and you go to school, you're probably worried about what you wear now and again. Maybe some of you going into the workplace find it's the same thing. There's a sense of wanting to find approval from other people. Because if I go to school or if I go to work wearing completely the wrong thing, my friends might not like me as much. My colleagues might not like me as much. Same thing happens for me. I don't try and find my approval in what I wear when I go to church meetings. And the other day I decided, maybe I'm on diocesan council, I should probably dress up a bit. So I wore, have you seen them, the black shirts with the white collar on? I wore one of those to diocesan council. And Nobody else did. I think there were two out of the sort of 30 clergy there. There were two of them. What are you doing, David? What's the special occasion? I said, this is the special occasion. I went to another meeting with the regional dean and the bishop and the archdeacons, and again, there was 20 people there, the great and the good, and I thought, well, I better dress the part, so I wore my black shirt and my white collar. One other person was wearing a collar. So I said, well, if we don't have to, then I'm just going to take this thing off, because, you know, if you've ever worn a bit of plastic around your neck, it isn't fun, it's quite tight. So I took it off. But we think about that, don't we? What do we wear? How am I going to be perceived when I go into a meeting at work? How am I going to be perceived in the classroom where I'm wearing the wrong thing? What statement am I trying to make? And it's all about approval, wanting to seek approval from other people. And the thing is, we'll fail. We'll fail time and again. In the moment, it can feel good, but after a while, we realize that other people's approval doesn't matter. So we have to seek the approval of one who already approves of us. And that's what we learn and hear week by week in church. It's not just a today thing. We sing songs, we have liturgy, we have scripture that reminds us that God already approves of you. God already loves you. God already reached down through Jesus on the cross and said, it's not about what you do. It's about who I've made you. And so we're invited to step into that place of acknowledging that God loves us. Whether we wear the blue shirt or the black shirt, whether we wear the new dress or the old dress, security, approval, control, I don't know what else there is that you might desire. When we leave our desires unchecked, it can cause us trouble. If we're constantly chasing after something and it keeps moving away. You know, like if you're chasing towards the goal in soccer, and then someone moves the goalposts. Can you imagine how annoying that would be? If you play another sport, then picture that. But just think of the soccer pitch. You've got the goalpost at the end. Imagine you're racing forward and you're trying to score a goal, and then someone goes, hang on a minute, I'm just going to move the goal over here. Isn't that how life is? We head towards a goal. We think, if I do this, so I want to suggest that Jesus' resistance to fulfill those three kind of basic human desires reminds us of what we can do, which is that we can seek to desire to be in God's presence, where we don't have to control the steering wheel so tight, because God has us, looks after us. We don't have to seek the approval of other people, which we might get for a moment and then fail the next. In my world, people say you're only as good as your last sermon. And when people say to me, oh, that was a good sermon this week, David, I think quietly, that probably meant they didn't like it last week. The music was good today. Oh, good. Just wait till next week. What if our desires were aligned with God's desire? So, the reason I've changed things around a little bit today is because we're going to sing a song next, which is called To Be in His Presence. As we spend some time in life groups, you'll do Lectio Divina, and if you're not in life groups, you can do Lectio Divina. Read through the passage three times. See what strikes you each time. That's the essence of Lectio Divina in 10 seconds. What we're going to do now is we're going to spend time just focusing on what does it mean to spend time in God's presence so that our desires can be corrected. It's kind of a course correction, as it were. If we feel like we're straying one way or the other, Time in church helps us come back and correct our course and say, no, this is the most important thing, spending time in God's presence. So we're going to sing a song about that. And then after that, we'll share communion. Again, spending time in God's presence. And as we spend time in God's presence and share communion, we get to eat bread and drink wine or juice, and we do that together. I heard it said this week that of just how important it is that we gather and that we do this. And as much as it's wonderful that church is available online for people who can't be here because they are older or they can't get out or they're sick, and that's a definite thing that we do for that, it can be a bit like watching the McDonald's advert on the telly. You can watch other people eating food, but it's not the same as coming and having it. So it's good to be here and keep on breaking bread, hearing from Scripture, reminding us to pull our desires back. We might desire to be in God's presence so that the other things fall away. And they'll come back because we're human. And that's why we don't have communion once a year. And we don't do church once every 6 months. We do it every week. In fact, we do it every day, but we do it every week on a Sunday to help keep us in that place where we're reminded constantly to lay aside our need for security, approval, and control that the world will not give us, but that God can. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing. And if you don't know this song, hopefully it's really easy to pick up. Then we'll move into communion together.